a year. That would be pretty good. All right, good stuff. Let's go to Jeff Kerr, who's set to join us here on Birds 365 this morning. He joins us right now. You can follow him at Jeff Kerr, PHL. Read all his work at SI.com/NFL/Eagles alongside John McMullen. Jeff, great to see you on this Monday morning. How you doing, my friend?
I see you guys talk about the Sixers and Knicks. I might have to log off Twitter for 2 weeks because that is the most annoying fan base rivalry of all time.
Really?
Knicks fans are the absolute worst, and Sixers fans aren't too far behind them. They just don't shut up.
Wow, like, Jeff coming in with
all right, coming in hot. Yeah, now, here's the thing: Knicks fans usually take over whatever the hell. What's the name of the arena now?
It is now the Xfinity Mobile Arena.
Thank you. The Exmo.
The fifth thing.
The Exmo.
Yeah, yeah, oh, I like Exmo.
There's a big X in the front.
Yeah, the Exmo. Yeah, they generally take over, which, hey, that's Sixers fans' fault. I mean, New York.
Well, my favorite is being, I've been a season ticket holder for 10 years, and I try to tell people this. Stop blaming season ticket holders for selling playoff tickets when you don't buy those tickets in the regular season that we're paying $50 for. You're paying 10 for our 50, so when we're trying to make money in the playoffs, come on. Like, and I go to the playoff games.
Look, hey, Madison Square Garden is going to be sold out. Now,
it is.
Look, and you're going to have Celebrity Row and all that bullshit. But you know, and it's a bigger city and all that. And they've only been good for, you know, there was a long stretch there between Ewing and this current group where they were a bad team. So, yeah, you know, true. During those years, it wasn't great either. But, yeah, I mean, New Yorkers are New Yorkers when their teams are good. They never shut the hell up. But I don't think fans are that much different anywhere.
I don't either. It's just you see more of the annoyance. I don't say anything to Knicks fans unless I'm at the game. And I actually said something 2 years ago because there were a bunch of Knicks fans surrounding me. And luckily I had the security guard who knew me really well. So I could probably.
You had some backup.
Yeah, I have my backup. And I said, what have you guys accomplished that the Sixers haven't? And they had nothing. I'm like, shut up and watch the game. That's what I'm doing.
That's me on remotes. Colin Thompson would be my security guard. Colin. Yeah.
And the security guard is cracking up because he's like, I got his back. I don't know you people. So they kept their mouth shut. The rest of the game, and I got to enjoy the game in peace. The Sixers lost, but I got to enjoy the game in peace.
Well, we'll see what they do tonight. And then this series versus the Knicks, they beat the Celtics in game 7. Pretty good start for the Philadelphia 76ers for those who are fans. Jeff, the big news in Eagle Land is the rookie minicamp, man. You were down there. You were working on it. I was reading a lot of your articles, doing a great job over there at SI per usual. Jeff, what were some of your takeaways, initial takeaways from the Eagles rookie minicamp? Seeing them out on the field, you got Sean Mannion, you got Mekhi Lemon, you got Eli Stowers, you got Uar Bernard. Maybe you saw them from 100 yards away. What were some of your takeaways, Jeff?
Well, I wasn't down there. John was down there. I had some family things to handle this weekend. But, yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, it's guys in shells and shorts, and we have to get excited for it.
Yeah, rookie camp is kind of just like – a necessary evil, I guess. You know, you try to onboard the guys as quickly as possible. You know,
a lot of teams are having it this
yeah,
week.
You can have it this weekend. You got to have it those first 2 weeks after the draft. So you can do it the first week like the Eagles did or the second weekend. Yeah, a lot of teams are doing it the second weekend. Eagles got a lot of tryout players in. Maybe that's the reason they did it. 30, I believe I counted 30 different tryout players. Now, vast majority of them are going to be mean nothing, but you will see like when somebody gets hurt and they'll bring somebody, they will have been at rookie camp. So you get,
I thought it was interesting. Khalil Herbert was there, by the way.
Herbert was there, and Elijah Mitchell. They had two veteran running backs.
I'm curious on this one, John. If I count it right, I got to count again. If I counted 88 roster spots, so there's two open.
Yeah, they still have. Let me double check. I know they still have a couple open. And I could just go to these tryout players. They usually sign one or two. And I think they might bring in one of the veterans.
Nick Sirianni says every year, don't miss on Adam Thielen.
Yeah. He didn't say it this year. I was hoping he said. Yeah. I asked him that question.
You kind of set it up for him, and he didn't say it.
Well, I asked him the question what he said, Adam Thielen. So he was probably on to me.
You even worded it like I know you talk about this, or I know I ask you this every year, and I kind of cracked up.
Yeah, 87, and one exemption, so they have the IPP.
Yeah, so that's exemption. The 88. Yeah, so technically they can sign three.
So they could sign three.
Michael Jordan, come on down. I don't know.
Let me see if Brandon Graham. Yeah, he counts because Brandon's on the roster till June 1st.
I actually put him on my off-season Eagles list, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Technically, he's still the team, but I said, well, he won't become June 1st, so they gotta figure that out. Yeah. They gotta
figure that out. But he's gonna be here till June 1st at least. So they have a little bit of room to bring in a player or two. You mentioned the running backs. I think Michael Jordan might be one, veteran offensive lineman.
They need a guard in the worst way. They need to find somebody.
How about they had Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas at Eagles rookie camp? I thought that was great. I was looking for Larry Bird.
Well, apparently A.J. Brown was there, but we don't have pictures.
Yeah, apparently stopped by. I did not see his car in his normal parking spot. My assumption is nobody, to my knowledge, saw him on the field. My assumption is he visited before we got into practice and was gone by the time we got there. But that I haven't talked to the Eagles.
I mean, the only explanation I can give if he's there or not is because he has football camp up in.
Yeah, Allentown. Yeah, that's why I stopped in. He was in town.
Also, maybe it's just me. And I just can't, as a reporter, go to a football camp with a bunch of kids and hope to get a quote from him.
Yeah, I agree, Jack.
Especially one hour and a half away. There are certain guys who went and gals.
Well, I mean, like, you got reporters, right? Oh, you know, his son, his 2-year-old son is singing Eagles chants. I'm like, all right, guys, that's not really a good thing.
Look, I'm not going to criticize those guys. You know, sometimes, you know, Olivia was there, Reiner from the Inquirer. Sometimes she'll be ordered to go.
I'm sure some are ordered to go. I'm not using his son doing an Eagles chant at 2 years
no,
old.
No. But I mean, if you're there, you're going to show it. And
right, obviously.
Throw it up on social media and people
engage on it because grab they the want baton
to and take it any way they want, which I'm very well aware of. So, you're not going to get much. That's why I wasn't trekking up to Allentown. Devontae had a celebrity softball game the day before. Now, you've been to that in the past.
This is the first year I missed it, believe it or not. Looked like everybody had a good time again. Last year was fun. Cooper DeGene won the home run derby.
Yeah, it's a cool event that Devontae's
put together. It's a lot of fun, and you get to talk to a lot of the players. Like, you know,
I know Jalen Hurts was there, and he's interacting.
Jalen comes every year.
That's pretty exciting.
Did Devontae make a comment about A.J. Brown of some sorts? I thought I saw that.
He basically said, from what I gathered, he pretty much said, look, you know, if my job is to be the number one receiver, I can't really comment on what AJ's doing, but if my job is to be the number one wide receiver, I'm going to go out and attack it. That's pretty much paraphrasing. But, it was funny because he didn't really get a question about Brown until like 6 or 7 questions in, from what I was told.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
you probably got a bunch of people afraid to ask the question. Not that I was there, but that would be my guess.
Funny, but the years Ed and I have done it, we just go straight to football questions. Like Isaiah Rogers last year, football. He's just cracking up. Like Kenny Moore, same thing. Like Kenny Moore knew me from covering the league all these years, and he's just smiling. He's like, you got a football question? I'm like, I do, actually. So.
Well, what's the deal, guys, with the – I'm now starting to see a new name get kicked around Eagle Land quite a bit. and it's Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback. In
the because he was at the game.
I know. And apparently, everybody's getting all jacked up that he could be in the trade.
Oh, my good Lord. Stop, people.
So my buddy, he does a lot of PR stuff for athletes, and he does it for, like, Brandon Graham and Julius Erdman. He does for a bunch of guys, and he don't care. He went up to Christian Gonzalez and said, "Hey, do you want to be an Eagle?" He's like, "Ah, man, I'm a Patriot," and they just laughed about it. Like, and people just they take it's like what John says. They interpret how they want to interpret it.
They believe it or not, you know, a lot of players are friends, despite playing on different teams, and they'll help each other. You saw Isaiah Rodgers comes back every year. He was at AJ's camp as well.
Yeah,
he was at both events. He's good friends with both. Players are friends and they help each other.
The Kobe Dean came back.
By the way, Cooper and Reed have a couple football camps later this spring and summer together, all over the country, not just here. I think there might be one in Iowa. Yeah,
Cooper's got a softball game in Iowa too. I think that's why he didn't come this year.
Yeah, no, I know him and Reed have a camp around Philly area, I think, don't they too?
Well, they have one in Bear, Delaware, I think, and they have a couple.
So a little outside the city, but
I actually feel bad for AJ. You know that you're having this camp. You know that there are going to be people there that, you know, aren't there for the camp.
I don't feel bad for him. I think, but doesn't AJ kind of stay around? Like, I mean, you got to think. I know people think that the season ends and a lot of these athletes jet set somewhere, and they might. But AJ's like a family dude with kids. You know what I mean? Like, when you have kids, I don't imagine you're just picking up and flying somewhere for 4 months. Your kids have friends and camps and school and all sorts of different things. Like, I feel like AJ might be still local to the area in the offseason. I remember after the Super Bowl when he tweeted.
Well, he hasn't been around the facility until he came in for the Allentown thing. And generally, he's here the whole time.
He's been away a little bit more.
Yeah. His main house is in Nashville. He lives in South Jersey. Interestingly enough, he's got another camp. I'm just looking it up. July 17th in Aston Township, Pennsylvania, wherever that is.
That's in Delco.
Yeah, it's pretty far out there.
Like probably around Sun Valley High School.
He's got that. Now, typically right before camp, he would do one in Haddonfield. That one's not on the books. So I don't know if that means anything, but
how do you guys think AJ Brown will be remembered by Philadelphia fans? Because I've already seen, like, I understand where
he should be remembered for winning a championship here.
I understand the immediacy of when he's leaving, and you know, as a fan, you're gonna disenfranchise from him a little bit, start to hype.
You don't have to though.
But I don't understand. Like, I see fans out there like spitting on AJ. I'm like, God. Do you remember what this team was like at that position before he came here?
You know what
receiver.
You know what drives me insane about that? Terrell Owens, and look, I like Terrell Owens. The guy literally sabotaged your season publicly, privately, tried to get the coach out, tried to get the quarterback out, basically did whatever he could to destroy them, and it almost worked. And you love him, but AJ, and you loved him at the time, but AJ Brown, okay, so he short arms a pass or two, or he's disengaged because he doesn't believe in the offense, and you want to destroy him because a content creator or two just puts out a clip of, oh, look at AJ Brown, look at his body language. Like,
well, I think multiple things can be true. I mean, you can be upset about that, which is fine, but
I don't like removing
everything else. It's like, dude, the guy did a lot for the team.
The day he gets traded, I'm going to put up a fun pick from the Super Bowl, and I hope fans actually see that he enjoyed winning a championship because I have that photo. So that's what I'm going to put out that day.
I'll be looking for it.
Yeah. I'm hard at work.
We're 28 days, boys, from June 1st. 28 days away.
It's going to be a long 28 days. This is the worst time of the year for the NFL, by the way. They try to make every irrelevant thing relevant.
Well, I got, yeah, I guess that's a part of the
or game. Or how about you just let baseball and football?
It works.
Baseball and basketball and hockey. Well, you know why? Because football fans are insane. They're like Star Wars fans at this point.
Saquon, by the way, Saquon's got one June 6th in Harrisburg, if you're interested.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that. I'm just going to go shoot film.
So also, he's
bringing taking... Barkley? You bringing Barkley? You're going to get like...
Yeah, Saquon Barkley can come. Barkley can come.
Sign Barkley's bandana or something. That
Barkley's
you got.
Down here. He's just chilling on the couch.
There you go.
He's all that Barkley's taken over the Haddonfield one, so maybe that's the thing. Anyway, there you go.
Is that Eagles There's run? The Haddonfield run? One is that?
No, AJ used to do a camp right before, used to do a youth camp right before training camp because he lives around there, but it's not on the schedule this year, so I don't know if that says anything. But so people can take that baton where they want to, if they want to, or not. But yeah, now we're in that mode of OTAs coming up, which are more relevant, certainly.
Yes.
Now, the Eagles, interestingly, Zach asked him that question every year. You talked about the question I asked Nick every year. That's what Zach asked Nick every year, which is basically you have 10 OTAs.
I wrote about that, yeah.
And up to 3 days of minicamp, and the Eagles never use them all.
They used 9 the last 2 years, and they went down to 8 this year. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, to me, it's an org. He kind of called himself. He said, that's what we think, which is as opposed to then he called himself an I think. But
that's I don't agree with it, but, hey, I'm not arguing.
Well, you would think this year, and that was Zach's point this year, you would think this year with Sean Mannion, you know, hey, use them. And even if you're worried, and I'll give Zach credit for this because we were talking about it, Zach Berman, we were talking about it. He's like, all right, you have a bunch of veteran players. They don't have to practice every day. You got 90 guys.
Yeah.
So even if you're using, if you give them a bunch of rest days to make sure you manage them correctly, why not get the young people involved? And that sharpens all the new coaches and all
and
that.
And you only open, what, maybe 2 of these to the media anyway? So who's not there? It doesn't matter. It's voluntary.
Yeah. Only 2 OTAs. Minicamp's got to be open. So they're having 2 days of minicamp. Minicamp's got to be fully open.
Last year, they only had 1 day, if I remember.
I think minicamp's got to be... Well, maybe they only had a 1 day minicamp. They skipped minicamp, did they? I'm pretty sure.
I thought they had it. I thought they had minicamp.
I could be wrong. They change the rules all the time. But anyway, the minicamp practice has to be open. I thought the entire minicamp. I could be wrong. Because generally they let us watch all OTAs as well, the full OTA practice. So it is, you know, more relevance. And you'll get to see the Mekhi Lemons of the world, the Eli Stowers. You'll get to see the little sort of first inclinations of the different things they're doing on offense. So it should be more exciting than usual, I would say. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because you have skill position players as rookies, sure. Honestly, I think in this day and age, minicamp is more important for social media people because they want to see, like, these guys in the uniform, and they don't get to see them anymore. Like, you don't get the training camp experience you used to. So, basically, any video John McMullen or Jeff Kerr or Ed Kratz or whoever, Zach Berman, whoever shoots it, that's what you get, essentially.
By the way, can you just, all these people out there, just put where you got the stuff from?
Oh, it's annoying.
Yeah, it feels like those days are gone, John.
You know what? I have a buddy who has done it the right way with his videos, and he's getting upset people are doing it. He goes, well, if it's okay for them, why isn't it okay for me? And I said, I would just keep doing what you're doing, honestly. And but I get it. Like, it sucks. Like, it's, yeah, there are just sites, they don't care. And then, and you know what's funny? One of those sites, I'll say this, one of those sites, oh, I wonder what info you got that from. He was implying that I was taking it from him. I'm like, you don't want this fight, dude. You don't want that.
Yeah, my problem is there's some people, like I saw somebody took like three of my pictures and just put them up.
Yeah.
Which is, bad enough, but the ones that bother me is you have a certain group of people, it's not a lot, but a certain group of people who take the stuff, by the way, before we can get in our cars to get home to do whatever we're going to do,
that's
or get to the media house, and then they sort of pretend that they were there and act and people buy it.
Yeah. And it's funny. A couple of years ago, I recorded AJ Brown. It was just like a one-on-one, me and him. And, you know, I posted a clip of it. And when I get home, someone acted like they're, I'm like, that's funny. I don't remember you being next to me. I actually think AJ called him out on it. And I was like, wow, this is fast. Like, I literally got in the car and went home, and it takes me an hour to get home. And I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
That's what I knew. Anyway, stop doing video.
That's my PSA for the day. And that's why I don't, I try not to do too much during practice. I'm paying fucking attention. One, you can't pay attention.
Yeah, it's hard to pay attention. There are certain people who don't pay attention at all
during practice,
by the way. I'll use my camera to actually zoom in to see if like who's out or not, because you can't see on the far field.
Yeah.
Are you guys allowed to use like binoculars? You can bring binoculars.
Yeah.
And stuff,
right?
Yeah. We can do that. But I just have my camera. I zoom and like I remember like a couple times like I'd stand next to Dave or Zach and I'd be like, hey, by the way, that guy's not here.
Yeah, I gotta upgrade my phone. What is it about iPhones? I got like a 14.
I'm 12. I'm behind you.
Yeah, but it's weird, John. I mean, if you don't upgrade every year, it almost feels like they intentionally.
Yeah.
Especially the camera. Like I got one. I don't know what is this, the 15 or the 14 or something.
I have a 12.
It's been a couple of years since I've upgraded it, and I took a video on my brother's phone this weekend. He's got the new one. I'm like, what? This looks nothing like
my. Exactly. I'm like, I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, did they purposefully downgrade the quality?
Maybe.
You know what's nuts for me? Like, I always used to buy like a new one every 3 years, and I bought my 12 Pro Max in like 2020. I haven't got one since. It's, I don't know why.
Ooh, that's old. Yeah.
Yeah, it is old, but I like it. It's, I'm starting to get like my parents. They have a 7.
Well,
I got an
upgrade. It's just one of those things where I got to go through the rigmarole and make you go through, but. Yeah, I got to do that before training camp. But who knows? We're all dated.
I think the last time I got an iPhone, Best Buy had a deal with T-Mobile. And I don't think they do that anymore. I don't think they have a deal with T-Mobile anymore. So I might have to go to the Apple store, which is going to be problematic.
Jeff, you wrote a little bit last week about safety options if the Eagles wanted to fill that in. Talk to me about what you think they might do there at the safety position. Me and John talked about it a little bit in the opening segment. You know, I get a sense that I think sometimes people want like an all-star at every position. You know, I don't think they're as weak.
And you can't have that. Yeah.
Right. I don't think they're as weak at that spot as some. That doesn't mean I think they're strong. What do you think their approach will be this offseason for the rest of the offseason to try and address that position, if at all?
I definitely think they'll kick the tires. Look, if they win the year of Andrew Kuba and Marcus Epps, I ain't complaining because I like Marcus Epps. I just don't think you're getting the Marcus Epps that you have 4 years ago. But notice the defense, he's fine, right? You're only paying $5 million toward the entire safety position, which is by far the lowest in the league, by the way. But if you look at other positions, they're paying top dollar, premium dollar, right? So I'm more worried about the depth. Like, what happens if Marcus Epps gets hurt? Michael Carter? Maybe Cooper? I assume Cooper's going to be a part of this. JT Gray, like, will he even make the team? That's what I'm concerned about. Like, I'm concerned about depth at safety and guard, and they might have found their guard depth and Michael Jordan for all we know, but I expect them at least.
Feels like the secondary is strong. I mean, you just said all those
names. It is, yeah.
You got Cooper, Quinion, you got Woolen. I know the safety is a little weaker, but I kind of look at that secondary.
But you can afford to be weak. But you can afford to be weaker though. That's right. That's the thing. Like to me, I feel like it's an off-season topic I have to talk about because everybody's like, they didn't really get a safety. I'm like, well, they did. They drafted Cole Wisniewski, who could be a starter. It's just, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, is there a veteran available that maybe you can get for a year? Maybe they'll do that. I don't know. They've done it before. They did.
I'm just glad. Oh, by the way, I should have mentioned earlier. I'm just glad that Justin Simmons retired.
Oh, jeez.
So I don't have to hear that again.
Oh, no, he can still come back. He'll be 50. Well, that's true. He can still come
back.
That's
true. That is true. He could come back. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, I'm just.
How many Simmons articles did you see over the past 2 years? Boy, you can count that up.
Yeah.
Oh man. You know, I'm starting to run out of ideas for this all season. I'm gonna need them to create some ideas.
Oh, here you go. Here's one. Buda Baker. That name is
I mentioned his name too. I don't think it's gonna happen.
The big
Grant Delpit's a better player if you want to go in the wishing well.
Buda Baker's going to be cashing his Social Security checks, and people are going to say, what about Buda Baker?
Yeah, that's true.
He ain't going anywhere.
What about Buda? What about Buda Baker?
Remember when Larry Fitzgerald was like willed to the Eagles for like 10 years in a row?
I don't mind not remember as much Fitzgerald because that was kind of, he was.
That was before you? Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a big thing. Like, the Eagles are going to trade for Larry Fitzgerald, or Randy Moss was on the plane to Philly and Belichick called him back. That was always my favorite.
I never heard that one either.
See?
Yeah, that was before my time back. Yeah, there's a lot of goofy. The one that's true, though, is Ben McAdoo. He literally was driving down.
He was on the dirt bike.
Yeah.
Can you imagine this team hired Ben McAdoo?
Oh, gosh.
Hey, would have been better than Adam Gase. They wanted Adam Gase first.
Who did I hear just talking about Adam Gase on a podcast? Was it
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, I was going to say Le'Veon Bell's podcast. I remember hearing.
Yeah, he was like, I've never had
a dive. Coach. Second and 10, halfback dive.
Yeah, that was funny.
But by the way, I got to give you guys credit. So, like, I have a couple of friends who listen to this whole show, and I'm like, wait a minute, you guys don't listen to bits and pieces of the show? And they're like, no, we listen to the whole thing. I'm like, oh, congrats.
We have a lot of those listeners. Hell yeah.
Yeah, people don't do that anymore. I'm impressed.
Yeah, we got a lot of them. We got a lot. Our average viewer watches for 40 plus minutes. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really good. Balance it out. You know, some people come for a little bit. A lot of people stay for the whole thing.
Or they listen to it later, which is cool too.
Yeah, obviously. Yep.
That's what I'm most prideful about this show is people tune in for a long period of time. So whether they love us or hate us, it's still they listen.
They tune in because they're
waiting. Howard Stern taught me that, man. Doesn't matter. If somebody tunes in for 2 minutes, who gives a shit? They're listening for 40
minutes.
What's
the old Jack Sparrow saying? You are without a doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of, but you have heard of me.
There you go. That's a good saying right there. I like that.
There we go.
Yeah. 9 o'clock on May. What is it? Is today May 4th? Yeah, today is May 4th. May the 4th be with you, gentlemen.
Oh, is it May 4th? Damn, man. Today we are moving in this offseason, boys. Yeah. We got a lot of. Woo! 28 also, days out. I mentioned that from June 1.
Not that people care locally, but. Former Yankees broadcaster John Sterling passed away.
Oh, that's a big one.
That's a shame.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's a really
big
one.
How old was John?
He was old. I'd have to look up.
I mean, he was doing it forever.
Yeah.
We're losing these great broadcasters, guys. Yeah. Thanks.
That's one of my dad used to – my dad's a Yankee fan. He used to walk around the house, and after a Yankee game, he'd go – The Yankees win. So that's like embroidered into my brain is that saying.
Yeah, 87 years old, passed away, John Sterling.
It's a good life.
Once did 5,060 consecutive games called.
That's hard to
think.
That is unbelievable.
Announced 8 World Series. 12-time Emmy Award winner. So he was a big deal.
You know what I think? I think generally, as we talk about John Sterling, I think play-by-play people should get more credit in the sports world. I think they do.
Should, yeah.
But they make such a big difference on the experience of watching.
I feel like people don't like them when they're actually doing it. And then when they start to get toward the finish line or they're done, then they really miss them.
You know, like Jeff, you know who I miss? Because I'm sure you'll – I don't know how much of a hockey guy you are, but Doc Emmerich.
I love Doc Emmerich.
NHL playoffs when Doc Emmerich was calling them were so electric. I mean, I miss Doc Emmerich every time I watch NHL postseason.
I know people don't like him because of his political stuff. I was always a Costas guy. I love Bob Costas. When he called a game or when he hosted an event. And Tirico is basically Costas now.
People are so lame. Let me hate this guy because he doesn't think about politics.
Yeah. He doesn't think the same way I do. Who cares?
Like, oh, my gosh.
I didn't even know Costas was big into politics now.
Me neither, really.
But you know what my favorite Bob Costas interview is of all time, when he basically almost got Vince McMahon to chokehold him?
That was Armin Katayan, I think. Well, he was trying to intimidate. It was both of them. But
this is during the XFL when he's like, the product stinks. He basically told them to his face, the product stinks, which is awesome.
He was right. He was right.
Yeah, he was right. And Vince was like trying to save the XFL at the time, and he basically like just pointed at
him. Yeah, you're right. That's interesting because I went to Armin Katayan. He did that to Armin too. He's a lunatic. I've met Vince a few times. He's a lunatic.
Isn't that why he was successful? Because he was a lunatic?
Maybe. Locally, and I'm not a hockey guy. I mean, you go prior to Mike Emmerich, Gene Hart.
I love Gene Hart. I was like 9 when Gene Hart passed away, but
yeah. Gene is where I first heard the term alacrity. I like that. I still use it today.
I love that word. I'm going to miss Matt Cord when he's done doing the PA for the Sixers.
And this is interesting because I know a lot of people grew up with Matt Cord before Matt Cord.
Dave Zinkoff.
Dave Zinkoff was a freaking legend. That one was.
Sixers got lucky. They got two of them.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well, that were good.
Yeah, that's tough when you replace them. And most people don't even remember Dave's, but for those who were there, like Matt Cord can't. That's just one you can't replace.
Yeah.
People are going to miss Merrill Reese when.
Oh my gosh. That's how my neck coming. People are going to miss Merrill, man. He is phenomenal.
You know what's funny? I've talked to Merrill Reese about this a bunch of times. Merrill Reese used to do PA for my dad's Little League games in Pottstown. And he remembers That's nuts.
I'll tell you what's amazing about Merrill, who I don't know, for people who haven't seen Merrill, he's got to be 80 something at this stage.
He's in his 80s. Yeah, I think he's 84.
He's very small, very small man, and still at 80 plus years old. In a room full, when he's in one of the press conferences, his voice booms over all of us.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Nick, if I may, and I'm like, there it is. Let him go. Yeah,
like to the
he's
point. A legend,
man. He's also so very weird. Great. He's also a very nice person.
Oh yeah, he's very.
Yeah,
very nice.
I love Merrill Reese. Yeah, it's
his voice is just. It's like he's got an amplifier. It's unbelievable.
Yep, made for play by play, no doubt. He will go. He will be remembered for a long time. Merrill Reese is a great, great, great voice.
I forget if the Eagles put him in their Wall of Fame or not. I think they did.
He should be. He's been, how long has he been the play-by-play for them?
Since 1978.
40 plus years.
Yeah. That's, he did Sam Walters first for a lot of years. And And Mike Quinn.
I forget what the.
I think he got it.
Pro football.
He's in the pro football. He's in the pro football hall.
That's almost 50 years, boys. That's.
Yeah, he went into the Eagles Hall of Fame in 2016, and he went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award winner in 2024. I remember that was recent because I remember he had to leave camp to go out to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Which I've been to the Hall of Fame. That's very cool, the Hall of Fame.
It's awesome. Yeah, so – we went, I went a couple times to the enshrinement stuff and all that. And I went for Vermeil because my dad was a big Vermeil guy. And yeah, it was something like just see a dick up there. And he's just mentioning pretty much anybody that ever played for him, which is that stick Vermeil to a T.
Yeah. Anybody who likes football should go once or twice.
It's cool. Like they do a whole weekend like of events and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
and now they're expanding it and they're, they're putting other stuff around it.
Yeah, they have a parade on Hall of Fame Day. They have a big concert. Journey played the weekend. We went for Vermeil, so that was really neat.
Don't stop believing. Don't stop
believing. That was the last song they played. They played a lot of hits that night. No Steve Perry, though. He's been done for a while.
Yeah. Well, is that really Journey then? I don't know.
Oh no, the guy that replaced Steve Perry sounds pretty much just
does
like
he? All right.
Yeah. So it felt like a Journey concert. I've seen Journey 3 times and I've seen it with this guy 3 times. I'm like, oh,
that seems like a tough voice to replicate, but
yeah, he can do it. Like I give him credit, and like he's very mobile, he's active, but I think Journey's done now. I don't think they're touring anymore.
No, I wouldn't know. Jeff, let me get it back to the Birds here. Defensively, what do you think their ceiling is this year, dude? I mean, I look at the defense. I'm like, they were good last year. Maybe the numbers, you know, or the stats.
Their floor might be top five, Xander. Like, they've been a top two defense the last 2 years.
I know. I mean, they weren't ranked that high last year, but I always thought that the numbers were skewed a little bit because of the offensive. You know, a lot of three and outs, a lot of time on the field for the defense. That's obviously going to skew numbers. But feels like they've improved at the edge with Grenard. You know, I liked Phillips, but I don't know that he has the upside of Grenard.
Yeah. I think Grenard's like a better player. And
Quinion, another year of them, they're only getting better. It might be hard to get better from what they were, but they might get better.
You got Reek Woolen in that mix now.
Add Reek Woolen. You got the linebackers, who that's still a question mark because as much as I like Campbell, N'Kobe Dean was a solid player, but Campbell was pretty good last year too. Feels like that defense has a chance to be one of the best in the league this year. Jeff, you think I'm overstating it?
No, not at all. Honestly, Xander, like, and I'm glad you mentioned Campbell. You can afford to let Dean go because you drafted Campbell and you believe Campbell can be this really good player. Like, I mean, look, they can line him up on the edge and rush him if they want. They're not going to do that now. I actually like their depth at linebacker. Like, even Trotter's been a solid contributor for them. Look,
yeah, you got Smile Munden now.
Munden's a good player. Yeah, he was a really good special teamer for them last year. You know what I like about their defense, and especially now that they got Grenard, they're deep at a lot of positions. They're deep at corner. They're deep at pass rusher. I mean, look, Arnold Ebiketie is going to be your number four pass rusher. I felt bad calling him a loser after he was one of my losers. When I did Where's the Loser, he was one of the losers. I'm like, well, the only reason he's a loser because they traded for Grenard, and now he went from maybe having 50% snaps a game to 30. It's a lot of money to pay for a number four pass rusher.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is good depth.
It's really good depth. It's good depth at defensive tackle, too. Like, you can basically stash Uar Bernard on your team. He doesn't have to play.
No. Well, you know, he's not playing. For those people who think he's playing, right away.
He's not playing.
He'll run at 3 years. Will he play in one game in the next 3 years? Regular season game.
I actually wrote about this today, like what could be like the plan for him. And I'm like, I don't even expect this guy to do anything at all, like 2028 at the earliest.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately going to take the note.
The guy can't even get his helmet on yet.
I forget who you asked that. You asked that question to somebody else, and they kind of swayed me because I was no. But then I brought up.
It was BLG, John.
Was it BLG? So
I think it was BLG. He swayed you a little bit.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to be probably one of those week 18 games where they're sitting all the start and they just throw them out there and see what they have. Maybe not this season, but 2027. and then sort of make the decision that, you know, I don't think he's going to play a lot, but I think in that type of situation, if they don't have to play their starters in a week 18 game, throw him out there, see what he can do. That's the only way I think it would happen. But if it's, you know, plus or minus one, I'm going to go push.
It's like a, it's like Big Tony in the Longest Yard. You guys know Big Tony in the Longest Yard. Joey, who is it? Joey Diaz? Is that who plays him?
Yeah. That's who it was.
Is that who played him?
Joey Diaz.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
He's a good stand-up. Or is it Joey Diaz? I'm thinking.
Big Tony. Yeah, Joey Diaz is Big Tony.
Just crushing words.
You know, we haven't talked about losing Alec Hallaby. Boy, this team.
For them.
This team loses a lot of freaking executives.
None of them seem to go anywhere. Everybody wants them.
I know, but Jeff, I mean, I was saying this to John, and hey, maybe it will get to a point where it starts to impact, but I had the same concern last year. I'm like, man, how they're losing a lot of dudes. And boy, it just seems like Howie keeps operating at such a high level, though.
Remember even when they lost Andrew Berry? We're like, oh, this is a big loss.
That's what I mean. Andrew Berry, Catherine Raich at the time, now Catherine Hickman. There's a lot of people that have gone from this front office, and they just, Ian Cunningham is obviously now out. A lot of dudes, man, have left. A lot of people have left this front office.
Brandon Brown was part of this front office.
Yeah, Brandon Brown. Yeah, Andy Weidel.
Yeah. Eagles people.
I mean, boys, we were at the point where some of the dudes who have left have now gone through their cycle.
John Spytek, he's gone too.
And they're returning. I mean, Joe Douglas is back here. He went on and had his GM run. I mean, you know, it's like Howie's the constant. Howie's the common denominator.
It was so funny. So I go on with a bunch of guys in Vegas for Raiders Radio about once or twice a year. We usually go in the off season. And they asked me straight up, what do you think our chances are getting the Kobe Dean? I'm like, I bet they're very good. Just from all the Eagles brass they brought in. And I'm like, I wouldn't be shocked if Kobe Dean was a Raider.
Yeah. Brandon Hunt and Anthony Patch to the Raiders. Yeah, Ian Cunningham, he's the guy who pilfered Bryce Johnston and Jeff Scott this year down in Atlanta. Yeah, it's all over, man.
That's right. Pash went there too. Like, I remember Hunt went there, but I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. They got Pash too. They've been there a year now.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the videos that got put out of the draft day trade that they
I did see the Eagles one with
yeah,
the Cowboys. The
Cowboys are always from the Cowboys perspective, which was pretty simple, you know, how he agreed to that pretty quickly. It's always interesting to see Jerry. This is Steven.
Well, was that, you know, the funny thing there is that it always is talked about like how he's the deal maker. There he was the deal taker. You know, he wasn't the deal maker there. Like, he was the deal taker.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll take it.
Well, I don't know if that. I mean, weren't they saying, I kind of looked at it quickly this morning. So I guess I got to look at it again. I thought, weren't they saying they were expecting Howie to call? Didn't they say that?
I think they were, yeah. But then they called him, so who knows? But
yeah. So
well, I guess maybe they knew.
I mean, he was trying to move up. That.
I mean, They could have been talking a couple days ago, for all we knew. Before.
Oh yeah, they. The foundation of that stuff is done the week leading up to the draft. You know. It's not just you call somebody up on the day of. Well, sometimes you do later, but
a lot of those tell people on draft day, in the movie Draft Day, that's not how it happens.
that's fair to say. But yeah, from the standpoint, the foundation of those first round trades, you basically call teams before the GMs and they say, hey, it's, you know, if your guy's not there, whatever, would you be willing to move off? And that's where the foundation is built. And then you just working on draft day. But he was trying to move up to 15 and 16. So, and the goal was always Lemon. So that, I don't know if I could have knew that.
They went that high. You don't think they would have taken the tackle?
No, it was Lemon.
No, and you know what? I would have been okay. I would have been okay if they would have traded up to 50 or 16 for Lemon, because basically the other guy they wanted, Proctor, was gone. So it's like, if you're not getting Vega, you're not getting Proctor. You really trading up for Blake Miller that high?
So, well, Freeling was the guy. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, Freeling ain't like too, but again, are you could have, just by the way the board played out. Feels like
I thought it was interesting they had Lemon over Freeling. I thought that was interesting.
You did need a wide receiver too, though. Bailey is in need of the long-term replacement for
Lemon. Well, they thought he was one of the 15 best players in the draft.
And that's what,
But they thought he was going to go like everybody else to the Rams. So,
you know, they kind of exposed themselves when with Zach's question a couple weeks ago. Do you have 23 players on your big board? We're not going to answer that.
Well, they don't. That's why.
Yeah, I know, but the truth always comes out.
Yeah. He wouldn't even go so far as to say 15, because he had mentioned Lemon was top 15. And, you know, I asked about 15 first round grades and said he has to check. Whatever.
So it might have been 12 or 13.
Yeah, I mean, from their perspective, they're not taking a quarterback, right? So, you know. So it's probably less.
I'll never forget when I was covering the Phillies game one time, and there was a new reporter there, and I felt bad for him because he asked Rob Thompson, "Yeah, who's available in your bullpen tonight?" And he's just like, "We just don't do that." I'm like, "Wow,
when somebody comes here and asks about a contract, it's like, all right, let's waste 2 minutes." But you know. Hey, you got to learn on the job. Everybody's got to learn on the job.
I just said, like, I'm going to ask him this next time you're here. And he did. And he got a good answer. So kudos.
Everybody's got to learn.
I've asked some dumb questions before. I've gotten some dumb answers. I've asked some great questions and got some dumb answers.
Well, if you do this job long enough, you're going to ask a dumb question.
Oh, yeah. And anybody that picks on you for asking a dumb question, they are insecure with themselves, period. I'll call spade a spade, baby.
Who are you speaking of?
There's a couple people.
Well, some people have called me a bully, so I can't. I don't agree with it.
You're a bully, John? I don't think so.
You're
a curmudgeon. You might not be a bully.
I don't agree with it. In fact, I think I'm very helpful to the young people.
You are very helpful. John McMullen.
You got to teach you how to be a bully so they don't get walked on in the room.
Well, that's
part
it's
of true.
It.
I mean, I'm not criticizing you at all. You got to be a bully in there. You want to get your questions in. I mean,
there's a media house joke that I want to share right now. And I'm not going to, but John knows where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even think I should have won, but Jimmy, the irreverent Jimmy Kemsky did, ranked face-off challenges, and I won. I was number one, which I don't think I should have been number one. But I said to Jimmy at the time, I go, he said, well, everybody else thinks you should be number one. Well, a lot of people, not everybody. But, and I said, well, that just says I'm the biggest asshole. That's not like an award.
That is an award.
That's such is life. If you're going to be, you know, Mr. Nice Guy every time, guess what? Life's not going to be fair to you. They're going to step all over you, walk all over you, and you'll be dirty at the bottom of the shoe.
As someone who is nice to a lot of people, everybody goes, you're so nice. I'm like, that doesn't help me with anything. But
I like to say, I'll try and be kind. I can't guarantee I'll be nice.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good
To people who are nice back. If you're not nice back,
what's the other quote? Nice guys finish last, boys. Yeah. How good, you know?
Well, you definitely got to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, you got it, John. I agree 100%. Yeah, Especially in a room like that, you know?
You gotta even stand with the bosses every once in a while. Be like, dude, no, this is unacceptable. Stop. Are you doing that? Well, no. Then don't ask me to do it.
I think the point remains in almost every facet.
Yeah.
But, all right, what do you guys, Jeff, what do you think is the biggest weakness still on the Birds? I guess the safety spot would be?
I would say interior of the offensive line, to be honest with you, Xander. Okay. So I was doing the math, right? You got Drew Kendall, who's actually played regular season snaps, but not at guard. Tom Pierce has never played any regular season snaps at guard. Near is Willie Lampkin. Near is Micah Morris.
A training camp hero. That's my prediction, but go on.
Who's that?
Willie Lampkin.
Willie Lampkin? Well, that's Ed's boy. Hero. He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
But the point remains, like, if Steen or Dickerson get hurt, all hands on deck.
Yeah, I mean, there's no obvious answer behind them at this point. But remember, they could always move Miles Hinton. They have so many young.
Yeah, we talked about this on Friday. Yeah.
They have so many.
I actually think Miles Hinton could be the answer. I might write that today. Internal solutions at right guard.
Because I think everybody forgets. Like, to the point about safety, Xander and I was talking about veteran safeties. Like, at the time, CJ was a slot corner that they projected as a safety. So sometimes you have to think outside, and you look at the guys and you say, Drew Kendall, Willie Lampkin, even if you want to throw Jake Majors in there.
I would throw Jake Majors in there just for the heck of it. Why not?
Sometimes you got to think and say, well, could they kick Miles Hinton inside? Could they kick Cameron? I don't think they would kick Cameron Williams inside.
I think he's Holland Pierce inside. Well, Holland Pierce, they have kicked inside, essentially.
So they have a lot of bodies. I don't know if you're confident in any of those bodies. And adding Micah Morris is the one you add in the draft.
I think the preseason is going to be very telling to watch those guys.
Which is one reason I think Michael Jordan might be here.
And not
Michael Jordan.
That's going to trip me up.
Not NASCAR owner Michael Jordan either.
The Michael Jordan. I don't think Isaiah Thomas is going to be brought in, though.
Who's a better? Yeah, well, I'm not even going to go that far. Hey, Michael Jordan's a better NASCAR owner than he was an NBA owner.
Definitely. He was not a very good NBA owner.
No. He was terrible. He was so bad as the president of basketball operations, he had to actually step in and help his team.
Well, that's more like a general manager role. Was he?
I know, but maybe. He wanted to be an owner, and he was the owner of the Bobcats/Hornets. It's not a good.
Yeah, name. Partial owner. But you know,
NASCAR's better for him. Here's all the money. I'm Michael Jordan. Here's all the money. I got.
Well, that's why. That's why you're a NASCAR guy. That's why isn't NASCAR? And by the way, I don't know anything about NASCAR. So, isn't it just who has the best equipment?
Yeah, a lot of it. It's
pretty like much, F1 yeah. too. Formula One's like that. Yeah.
A lot of racing, John. You got to have a lot of money. And money goes a long way. You get better.
So what are we talking about the drivers? I mean, I'm sure they're better drivers than me, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, if you're being honest, probably the most talented driver in NASCAR is Kyle Larson, but Kyle Larson also wrecks by himself too. So he did yesterday anyway.
Yeah, drivers do make a difference, but it's to your point, John. If you don't have a good car, you're not doing much.
Yeah, exactly. You got to have the funding. And look, Michael Jordan, to his credit, Tyler Reddick was under contract with Richard Childress. Michael Jordan saw the talent, said, okay, this guy's overachieving in this equipment.
F1 is similar.
What's he
going to
do? Yeah, F1's like that. I mean, look, I think we can all agree Max Verstappen is the best driver in Formula One.
Max Verstappen, I think, is the best driver on planet Earth. I don't think there's a better driver on the planet than him. If you give him the same shit box as everybody else, he will beat the rest of them in that.
That's
shit.
Right. NASCAR That's fans. Are
well, that to me, that would be if everybody has the same shit box, you know, then you could know who the best was.
Yeah. Well, I think
that. Yeah, exactly. That's why, like, NASCAR fans are and drivers are why, even like, hey, Matt, like, hey, Max, come over here. We'll give you good equipment.
I think most people would agree with that. When it comes to, you know, actual cars versus people, but the same thing in football.
Oh yeah.
Talent.
Like, why are you punishing Jalen Hurts for having AJ Brown, Devontae Smith? Every quarterback in the world would take that.
There has never been a quarterback. I say this all the time. There's never been a quarterback who won a Super Bowl with a bad supporting cast. Yeah.
Kurt Warner is the king of having great supporting cast. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Where are these teams? Where are these great quarterbacks that won with bad teams? They don't exist. They're made up in people's minds.
They like to pretend the Bengals are a bad team. They weren't a bad team a couple of years ago when they were going to the Super Bowl in the AFC Championship. They were a great team.
They had a great shaky offensive line, but yeah, they weren't a bad team.
No, like they were loaded in a lot of positions.
Yeah. So, and they didn't win, but it doesn't matter.
I mean, look at the Rams are in it all the time. Oh, by the way, boys, I got another podcast to go on. So I'll have to bid you adieu. Yep, I got dip.
All right, Jeff, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining in. We will talk to you again next week, reading all your work at SI. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Man. There's Jeff Kerr joining us right here. Look at that. Good stuff from Jeff Kerr. Appreciate him doing it. Another show for Jeff. We appreciate him coming in today. John, a lot of excitement around this Eagles team still coming off of the NFL draft. A lot of new players here coming in. Feels like the Eagles are in a decent spot this offseason. I mean, I don't know how much they could have done everywhere, but it does feel like so far they've done pretty well. I thought they had a solid draft. And how would you grade, John, where they are this offseason? A lot of names lost, you know, so I do think some people think it's been an underwhelming offseason for the Birds, where maybe the NFC East has gotten better. The other teams in the NFC East have gotten better. Where would you gauge it right now, J-Mac, as we are on May 4th today?
Well, it's interesting. I think if you talk about the draft, you know, they got so many good grades, which I think draft grades are silly, you know, coming obviously, but I realize why they're unnecessarily evil. But everybody gave, you know, Howie this, Howie that, and Howie does a great job, not trying to downplay that. But just from the standpoint of where the other team started from, they got more talent in the draft. I mean, the New York Giants had two top 10 picks. They had four picks in the top 74.
Yeah.
The Cowboys had two first round picks because of the Micah Parsons deal. And depending on, you know, maybe they made a mistake with Malachi Lawrence, but I think they got the best defensive player in the draft and Caleb Downs at 11 overall. And then even Washington, which didn't have a lot of picks, but they had a top 10 pick. They got Sonny Styles at 7 overall. And, you know, that's a guy, Ian Cummings, our buddy Ian Cummings, has the best player in the draft.
Still a little rich for an off ball, though. No, I mean, he's a great player. So
yeah, but I mean, I had him in that second, but that was the problem with this draft, because the best players were running back, safety, linebacker.
Yeah, right.
All ball.
Howie kind of mentioned that too, didn't he?
He did mention it. So they were at non-traditional positions as far as what teams value most. But as you learn. How many times do I say on this show, Xander, is that the business of football doesn't always align with the game on the field? Like, who was more important to the Eagles' Super Bowl win than Saquon Barkley? How many times did he touch the football? How many yards did he have? And that's a devalued position, because in the business part of it looks at, well, what is the shelf life going to be? How long are you going to have this player? Well, if Jeremiah Love touches it 480 times for the best team in football, he's going to be worth it. He's probably not going to, but you get my point. Same thing with off-ball linebacker. It's like, yeah, you don't value it, but then when you get one like Zach Bond in the Super Bowl season and you have an all-pro off-ball line, that looked pretty good, didn't it? Impacting play. That guy made a play, I swear to God, every single, and I mean a splash play, every single game down the stretch, including the playoffs. Every single game. Just a dominant, dominant player. And then safety, I don't know. You get a safety like Kyle Hamilton, which some people have compared Caleb Downs, not from a maybe a base talent perspective, but from a versatility perspective. It's pretty good. It's pretty impactful.
Do you have an early lean on who you think is going to control the NFC East this year?
Yeah, I still think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC East, but I do think the other teams are getting better. And Dallas is still probably number two, but the team, I think, going in the right direction, because I still have questions with, to say the least, about how Dallas runs things. The Giants are finally going in the right direction, unfortunately, because it's been a long time. But I do think John Harbaugh being there will settle them down. And they got Arvell Reese, Francis Maugoa, Colton Hood, and Malachi Fields in the first 74. That's a lot of people had Hood going in the first round. I didn't necessarily like that. Obviously, Reese is probably the second best defensive player in the draft, or third, depending if you like Sonny Styles better. Maugoa could arguably be the best offensive lineman or the second best. Now, they're going to earmark him to play guard, not tackle, so we'll see how that works out. You get a big-time corner. Fields is more of a contestant. I'm not in love with him, but, you know, can certainly help. And John Harbaugh just knows what he's doing. Half the battle. I see it with the Eagles every day. Howie just knows what he's doing. Doesn't mean he's going to get everything right, but he doesn't make bad decisions.
NFC East could be coming a good division. John, last year you went off of, understandably so, you went off of history. All right, there was no repeat winners in the NFC East for quite a bit of time. You thought the Commanders might come out with the East last year. Has the change or the break in the pattern of history in the NFC East, has it altered your perspective coming in now that we have the Eagles as repeat champions? Could they go on and three-peat it, Johnny Mac?
I think so, sure. I still think they have the best team from top to bottom.
What's your concern on this offense?
I don't think it's going to be a good offense. You know, it's going to range from, you know, good would be 16-ish. Bad would be like last year. But I think they can get to 16-ish. I think you're going to have a lot of bounce back seasons, at least from where they were playing at last year. Probably have a oomph from a new system, a different voice. Like we've talked about everybody, but Phillies. Look at you really think Don Mattingly is doing a bunch of different stuff than Rob Thompson? No, he's a different voice, and people have said, "Oh shit, we're playing like shit," and all of a sudden they wake up and start winning some games. So I do think maybe that's a little bit of a boost. But I still look at it as a descending group as a whole. So, you know, they started the turnover this year. I mean, the top three picks, offense, offense, offense. You know, and Markell Bell's going to have to wait, but. You know, you go Mekhi Lemon, you go Eli Stowers. So you have, you know, partial replacement for AJ, partial a replacement in theory for Dallas Goedert. And then even if you want to go down to, you know, their first five picks were offensive players. If you go down to Cole Payton and Micah Morris on day three, before they even took a defensive player. And then they finish with defense. Cole Wisniewski, Uar Bernard, and Keyshawn James Newby, all from 244 to 252, though. So, you know, their first five picks are all offense. And Howie told you he was going to do that. Because they have to start repopulating that side of the board because guys are going to age out or the contracts are too expensive. And some guys are just not playing as well as they used to play. So that's going to be, that might be a little bit of a struggle. They're going to have to be carried by their defense again, I think. But I think their defense has got a potential to be top five.
And where does that, where the question, I mean, I think you're right on the money with that analysis. I just, where does the offense have to get to is my question. Like, if they're carried by the defense, that's not a bad thing. It's a team game. You want to be whatever. If the defense has to carry the water more than the offense, so be it. But to me, the offense can't be.
No, they got to get a little better.
Yeah, they got to get. I mean, where and where do you think that has to be, minimum?
First down.
First down.
Well, right? Really, it's got to be on first down, and it takes care of itself. But, yeah, somewhere in the mid, 15, 16, somewhere in that range. But if they fix first down, everything falls into place, I think. But again, they're not going to be a high octane offense. They're just not.
What do you think their ceiling is?
As a team or as an
offense? No, as an offense.
Middle of the pack. I think, well, ceiling probably a little bit better than that, if you're talking about ceiling. If everything goes perfectly and, you know, Lane plays all 17 games and Cam Jurgens is healthy and Landa Dickerson is healthy as he can be and Mekhi Lemon seizes the wide receiver two job relatively early. And Saquon has a bounce back year, not 2,000, but 15, 1,600. That's probably your ceiling.
I think you're probably right on the money there. We'll see what ends up happening with it. Sean Mannion is in, 6'6". This dude apparently has a presence on the field.